right, good singing all the way around. We bless the Lord for how good God's been, all He's done, and all He's doing. Take your Bible, if you will, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians in chapter number 3. All right, if you find the place, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. If you're able to stand, we'll start there. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able to bear it. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Now skip over to verse 21. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you're Christ, and Christ is God's. Our Father, we ask your blessing upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you, Lord, how good it is to be in the house of God tonight. We pray your blessings now upon this crowd that is gathered here, be with those that could not be. And we thank you, Lord, for having loved us while we were unlovable, having heard and answered prayer. Lord, we lay these requests tonight at your feet. May you fill them in accordance to thy will. And we'll thank you in advance for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while on speaking to babes in Christ. Now, we've got some people that are babes in Christ that are here. And every time somebody gets saved, that's a newborn babe in Christ. And as a result of that, they ought to grow in grace and love and knowledge. You know what's wrong with the average Baptist in the world that we're living in? After all these years, they're still just toddlers walking along, babes in Christ. One of the things, you know, that came up just here recently is that they had a happy Valentine's Day. Now, you may knock yourself out on all that, and I'm not knocking it and against that. All of that, I know a little bit about the St. Valentine's Day Massacre and stuff like that. But I don't mean at your house either. But I didn't know if I would say Happy Valentine's Day or Happy Black History Month. Now, you know what that is? That's a blasphemous, degrading movement, the BL. Of course, they can't find anybody now to take charge of who's in charge of that $60 million that they owe taxes on. But do you realize, though, that, hey, we ought not to be looking across the country because of our color and this and that? Listen, we don't have a brown Mexican holiday, do we? And let me tell you right now, you're an American. If you've been born in this world, you're American. Somebody asked me and say, hey, what's this young man here that used to take Ritalin? I'll tell you what he is that he's American. What am I? What's that preacher? What are you doing? Listen to that preacher. He's an American. See? And he believes in White History Month. No, you see how dumb that is? I mean, you're born, bred in America. You're an American. And we ought to rejoice and be glad and thankful that we are. And that we can love one another and that we can love others that come into the country. And I realize that, I'm not talking about being bombarded and infiltrated like we are without a clearance. Let me say to you that, if you will, this old world that we're living in, the problem's carnality. Do you know that carnality will keep you from growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord? In other words, what it'll do is it'll keep you as a child all the time. See, immaturity in a child's one thing. And that's why we pick at them. They're cute, you know, and all this and that. And they say things they ought not to be saying that they've learned from us. And it's funny, you know, till they one day get big enough to embarrass you in front of somebody that didn't think it was as funny as what you and I did. See? Let me say to you that, if you will, is that a person that's physically handicapped cannot help it. A mentally handicapped cannot help it. But a person who's voluntarily handicapped can help it. It's just because you're lazy or dull of hearing or tired of hearing, ignorant and unlearned about what the word of the Lord. You ever hear a sermon and then somebody come up and ask you after you heard that sermon a question? And I wonder, have you ever heard anybody ask this question and then this? Well, yeah, the preacher just got through dealing with that. Well, when did I must have not have been there. No, it was this morning. It was this morning. It was tonight when we were there. See? Yeah, you know what that is, don't you? That's dull of hearing. And I realize, you know, that I'm just like you are, and sometimes, you know, I'm just voluntarily handicapped, and I don't know what went on or nothing. And your spouse ever get, I said why, but let's just pick on us. Your spouse ever get irritated because they said something, and you don't ever listen to anything. I'm tired of repeating myself over and over again. Well, what did you say? You don't ever pay attention to me whatsoever. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Well, what did I say? I don't know. I wasn't listening. I knew I could get you to repeat it, but I was listening to something that was on TV, and I knew they wasn't going to repeat it. Now, I can't use that anymore because that DVR thing will let you back it up live TV. You can't pause everything in time. Hey, you know that black lady that's got the long arm? She had the strong arm, the long arm. Anyhow, she said they wanted to tell me, bye, Alicia. And this is one of my favorite commercials now. And anyhow, she said, but the long arm got me $134,000. Write it down and take a picture. Y'all ain't seen that? You're not watching nearly enough. Family Feud, that's where it's, you know, you're probably having to do other important things during that time. I said all that to be able to say this, is that a voluntary handicapped person is one that's just hard of hearing, one that doesn't pay attention, one that's ignorant and unlearned because they're just dull of whatever God has got to offer in life. Our number one is, I want to say to you that in verse number one that we've read tonight, is that there's a difference between the flesh and between the spirit. In other words, here's what he said. I'd like to talk to you, but you're a carnal bunch, and I can't. I can't deal with you as though you were spiritual. I've got to deal with you like you were babes in Christ and spoon feed you, and I've got to feed you, you know, something that you can digest, take care of. Let me tell you something. Do you realize, you know, that a baby doesn't grow by just calling them names? You call them dumb and stupid and this and that, and there's plenty of room for that. That doesn't make them grow anymore any faster. Let me say to you that, if you will, that a baby is going to grow by feeding them the sincere milk of the Word. Look in verse 2. I fed you with milk, not with meat. Why? Well, you wasn't able to bear meat. I had to give you something that you could digest. I had to give you something you could relate to. I had to give you something you could consume on the inside, become part of you. I want to say to you that, if you will, that's the reason why. And don't lose your thought here, but over in Ephesians in chapter 4 and about verse number 15, there's a passage that goes along with this idea. And here's what he says in verse 15. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. In other words, when you become a child of God and somebody speaks the word of the Lord to you in love and tries to tell you, here's what thus saith the Lord. We're talking about feeding you the word of God. You know what ends up happening, don't you? Don't ever get to the place in your life that you want to use the Bible as your whip. You never mention anything to anybody about the word of the Lord whatsoever until you're wanting to cut them with it. See that? There's a difference between fighting with the Word and feeding with the Word. And let me tell you, as you begin to look into the Word of the Lord here, you'll find that he said unto this church at Corinth, he said, I fed you with milk, not with meat, because you're not able to bear the meat yet. Number two is this diet that we're talking about, milk and meat. Now, you realize and know that right now that these little babies that are growing up, I sit down and I go to trying to eat me a nice piece of a steak. It don't matter if it's ribeye, T-bone, whatever it is, preferably ribeye. Some of you may not like ribeye. That's fine. They're on sale. Bring them to me. Leave them at the doorstep. and they'll come in. We'll drink a glass of a soda pop or something, and I'll cook them later and eat them when you're not there to look. I just said all that to say this. I've noticed, though, that while I'm doing that, Landon's not able to eat that kind of stuff. Now, he's able to get a stronger diet than he did have and all that business there, and he's pretty happy and pretty happy-go-lucky all the time. And let me tell you right now, if it's in a bottle, I don't care if it's a bottle of water or whatever it is, Ben, he's watching you as you get ready to drink it. He's got his eyeballs zeroed in on it. I wonder to God we could get our eyes zeroed in on the word of the Lord like that. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you the reason why that they're not feeding him something stronger than that. While you turn to Hebrews, don't lose your text, but in the book of Hebrews in chapter 5, let me tell you the reason why it's that way. The reason why he has need of milk and need a little bit of cereal in it or whatever it is, and now he's, graduating, do potatoes and a few other little old things that are solved. And one of these days, it won't be long, he'll have a tooth and he'll be ready to bite into something a little bit stronger than what he's eaten. I said all that to say this in the book of Hebrews in chapter 5, about verse number 12, we'll take up. And the Bible said there in let's back up to verse 11. He said, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom that we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when the time that you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, not of strong meat. In other words, here's some people that he's talking to. They ought to already be on a stronger diet, a meat diet of the sincere milk of the Word, and then the meat of the Word, and they ought to be teaching others about it, but they're not able. They got to be taught again. Verse 13. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the Word. Look at that. Of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, let me tell you right now is that what's wrong with the average Baptist is an ignorant preacher standing in the pulpit. Yes, sir. And I don't mean that ugly and all that business there, and I'm not talking about here in our group, but I'm talking about across the country. The reason why the average congregation don't know anything, they couldn't know anything, they wanted to know anything, because the preacher's dumber than a box of rocks, and just whatever it is, they just let it happen and let the chips fall where they may. They don't know where the Bible came from. They don't know what a proper burial is. They don't know. You're getting the picture. They don't know what's good and right in the sight of God, what's wrong and evil in the sight of the Lord. They have no knowledge of good and evil. Now, I'll tell you, the only thing that'll give you that is the word of the Lord. All right, in the book of 1 Peter, there's a passage there in 1 Peter chapter 2. And we'll go back to our text in due time, but notice in chapter 2 and verse number 2. Let me tell you something. This is point number 3. Carnality will ruin one's appetite. You ever come to the house of God, you're just on fire for God, you and your wife was in fellowship, your family, nothing bothering you whatsoever. You just came down praising God, magnifying the Lord, exalting, wanting to shout it out. And boy, everything that anybody said was just a blessing from on high. Have you ever turned around as the same couple, be at odds either with one of your kids, having trouble in the family, or having trouble among yourself? Let me tell you something. There's not anything worse than church trouble but family trouble. Did you ever notice how that dampens your appetite? You come to the house of God, go through all the motions, don't have a clue what was said, never grab anything down into your heart. See? I got to say to you, carnality will ruin your appetite. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2, as newborn babes, look, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Do you know if you're a child of God, been born into the family of God, even though you're a babe, you have a real desire for the word of the Lord? Now, it may be over your head, but you've got a desire for what you can digest. That's the reason why that I'm telling you that carnality will ruin that desire. Now, not forever, but it'll ruin it for the moment. In this lesson that you're looking at, sort of like you ever sat down, I know you never have done this, but I've read a lot about it, and sat down to a good meal. Your wife wanted to know, what'd you think about it? Good, These potatoes are a little pasty. You're fixing not enjoy the rest of your meal. Get you, you know, you get you some beans and that dude's crunchy. Crunchy in it. You want some chips? No, these beans are crunchy enough. You're fixing not to enjoy the rest of your meal. What's the thing about this new dish I came up with? Well, that was good. What is this? About the seventh or eighth one we've had this month here? Why don't we just have some down-to-earth, good old country cooking again, see? That's awful quiet. It's all, my Lord, I started out, man, we got some finest cooks you ever seen in your life right in here, and y'all act like a bunch of Pop-Tart queens right now. And I'm just saying to you that, if you will, is that carnality. It'll ruin your appetite. It'll make you just worry. And boy, once you're insulted at the table, you're not hungry no more. I don't care if it's a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, whatever it is. You know, of course, we can pull rank over our kids. You're not getting up till you eat every bite of that. And you're thinking, I sure hope she don't put that kind of demand on me. It's great. This is great. But I'm just, you know. I want to say to you that number four is that you'll find that over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that we read, is that you'll find that carnality, you know what it does? I'll tell you exactly what it does, is that it goes to looking to my favorite preacher, my favorite this, or my, and he said, whether it be Paul, Apollos, or Cephas, finally in the end, in verse 21, he said, do you realize that, no, we're not to glory in men, we're to glory in Christ. Listen, we're to pray, we're to preach, we're to plant the blessed word of the Lord, we're to point others unto Christ, we're laborers together, but it's God that gives the increase. Remember early in the chapter, and he said, God that's going to give the increase, and it's him, we're nothing, but it's he that gives the increase. He's everything. That's the whole idea that we're looking at. Now, I want you to look, if you will, please, in the lesson here that we're talking about in verse 11. For the foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you right now, beginning there in verse number 12, if a man build upon this foundation, what foundation? Jesus Christ, verse 12. He says, if you build gold, silver, precious stones, those are things that are lasting. Or wood, hay, and stubble, those are things that'll burn up quick. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because he shall reveal it by fire, and fire shall try every man's work of what sort that it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built upon, then he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, you see that passage there? That's a favorite passage that the Roman Catholic Church uses to teach purgatory and about your sins being burned off of you. And then, of course, naturally, they've added more to it to where you've got to pay a certain amount for a certain amount of prayers and a certain length of time to be able to get you out of purgatory. Now, let me tell you something in that passage there. That fire's not going to hurt anybody that is put upon. It's going to hurt the works that they've done or not done, and it's not going to be anything to scorch that person. You notice that his works might be burned up, but he's saved yet so as by fire. This is not the saving ability of fire. This is simply the purging of dead works, no doubt, because of the fact you didn't follow the Lord. And I'll give you another illustration. Remember over there, let's see here. Don't lose your text, but in 1 Peter chapter 3, there's a man by the name of Noah. Everybody remembers how that now the end of life has come up before the Lord. He's not going to allow it to go on anymore. The wickedness of man, his imagination is evil, even from his birth and from his youth. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 20, he talks about whenever he went, the Lord Jesus, and preached to those spirits in prison, verse 20, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Now, y'all, I want to ask you this here so you can get it down. How many of them souls got wet? Not one of them. Over there in our text that we've read tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse number 15, when he said, if a man's works be burned up, he's going to suffer loss, but he himself saved yet so as by fire. How much flame got on him? None. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Well, those guys that were cast into the fiery furnace, it burned all their bandings off. But they didn't even have the smell of smoke. So let me say to you that when you look into that, that it's just another passage, it's just another verse that you can use down the road in your arsenal that says, let God be true and the Roman Catholic Church and every pope a liar. That's true. No such thing as purgatory. You have to go, and they strain at that in the apocryphal books to get that false doctrine out of there. Let me tell you, if you live without the Lord and die without the Lord, you're going to spend eternity in a place called hell without the Lord. If you live in the Lord, by the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to spend eternity in heaven because of the grace of God and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm glad to know that I'm not holding on, hanging on, holding on, doing the best I can. I'm glad He's holding me on. Lives on the inside of me, so He does with you. Make no mistake about it, there's not another foundation that can be laid that's already is laid than that of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed. Our Father, I want to say thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. Bless this crowd that have gathered here tonight. Watch over those that are sick. Bless Brother Mark and now Miss Alex and their family. Bring them back safely. Bless these others now that we pray that you'd help us face the days ahead. Thank you, Lord, for loving us in Jesus' name.